Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and hosting this program, Bob Enyart Live, for 15 years, and welcoming you to call in to talk about the news of the day and figure out what principles of right and wrong apply. And the U.S. Supreme Court, they've been in the news, so maybe we can figure out how they're doing. The latest decision now by Chief Justice John Roberts is that religious organizations could use illegal drugs in their religious ceremonies. This is by John Roberts, right? He's one of the heroes of the Christian pro-life community, and he's the guy who helped to overturn Amendment 2 when Colorado voted that you had the right, explicitly, you had the right not to hire or employ homosexuals, to hire them, and not to rent to homosexuals. That was an effort in 1993 to slow down the homosexual agenda and focus on the family. James Dobson, they supported that law back then, and now they say they don't. But anyway, John Roberts, way back then, he donated his time as a high-powered attorney in Washington, D.C., to craft the oral arguments used at the Supreme Court to overturn Colorado's Amendment 2 law that passed by a majority of voters back in the early 90s. And so now Samuel Alito's on the court, but he didn't get to hear this case. This was Gonzalez versus the O Centro Espírita Beneficiente Unial do Vegetal. Okay, a little Spanish lingo there. I don't know what it means. Anyway, it's some spirit, beneficent spirit of one vegetable. I don't know. But this organization, what they do is they have a four-hour religious ceremony twice a month, and they drink a tea that contains an illegal drug known as DMT. DMT. And they say that they believe that they can understand God only when they're high, only when they're drinking this tea with this illegal drug in it. So that goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. You know the U.S. Supreme Court, right? 7 of the 9 justices were nominated by Republican presidents. That's the same court that legalized abortion and increasing homosexual, furthering the homosexual agenda and so on. Well, this case came to them, and they have just ruled. In fact, Chief Justice John Roberts issued the ruling, and he said that the government didn't prove its case, that the drug was so harmful that it would offset religious liberties. And so, therefore, they ruled in favor of the hippie church, that they can use their hallucinogenic tea as part of a ritual intended to connect with God. Now, I wonder how many liberals right now are discovering religious rituals that will connect them with God, sort of a la Timothy Leary, and they're going to find God in crack cocaine and heroin, hashish, marijuana, whatever. We're going to end up with dozens of ways to find God while you're plastered. And this will be courtesy. This is what, the second ruling written by Chief Justice John Roberts now? And he wrote this ruling, and it was unanimous. So all the Republicans on the Supreme Court agreed with this. Now, Samuel Alito, he wasn't on the bench on the U.S. Supreme Court when this case was heard. Sandra Day O'Connor was still there, and he's taken her place. So he didn't rule, but how would he have ruled? It's somewhat irrelevant. So let's think through this a little bit. Remember, John Roberts made it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and wasn't one of the very first things the court did, although I could never find if any of the justices dissented. But remember that the court ordered a prison to transport a woman for an abortion. Remember that? Was that in Mississippi? And then remember Alito was confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and what, by the next day or so, he voted for a stay of execution for a confessed rapist murderer who was actually simply mocking the system, since he was a confessed rapist murderer, him and another murderer, a rapist. They kidnapped a girl that was waiting for a school bus in front of her house, kidnapped her, raped her, murdered her, and he's asked for a stay of execution because maybe lethal injection might be too painful a way to die, and maybe there was too much racism in his case. He confessed to kidnapping, raping, and murdering the girl. So it doesn't matter how much racism is in the world, he's a guilty kidnapper, rapist, murderer, and should have been put to death a long time ago. So Alito voted for that stay of execution. We know that. And now here we have Justice John Roberts voting. We have Justice John Roberts now, Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, voting with the other Republicans on the court, six Republicans in total. What did they vote for? Six Republicans, two Democrats, voted to say it is legal for this South American religious sect to use hallucinogenic tea as part of a religious ritual because they say that's the only way they can understand God is by getting high on this drug. Now, this drug known as DMT is the way they find out about God. And surely the U.S. Supreme Court is known to give wide latitude to any religious beliefs. I mean, you worship Satan and they grant you tax-exempt status if you're a Satanist. Now, we should get rid of all tax-exempt rules and regulations for churches. Just get rid of tax exemption. Just get rid of it. Because what it does is it enables the government to control the purse strings of Christian ministries, and it puts a gag rule on pastors, so with the goal of taking them out of the culture war about laws and judges and rulings and candidates. So we should get rid of that totally, tax exemption for churches. But at any rate, so now there you have it. We're going to have Timothy Leary back and preaching at our churches, and young people tuning in and turning out and turning on to God by getting high. And so we could see all the subsequent challenges to local and state ordinances. And why is it that it should be illegal to sell crack cocaine? Why should that be illegal? Heroin? Why isn't wine illegal? Why isn't beer illegal? Well, God tells us in the Bible, don't get drunk. And we could see that it's a crime to get drunk, but it's not a crime to make wine. Jesus did it. To drink wine. Jesus did it. And God, in the tithe feast, God said, hey, once a year, take your tithe money, but don't tithe it all. Keep some of it. Have a feast for you and your family. Buy all the food to your heart's content. Not only food, but wine and strong drink, liquor. That's from the Hebrew word to get drunk. Now, but don't get drunk. It's a sin to get drunk, but it's not a sin to drink a glass of wine. Whereas if somebody is doing crack, they're doing it to get high. That's the purpose of doing crack. People do heroin to get high. And so that's what the crime is. And state by state in America, back in what, the 50s and 60s, we decriminalized public drunkenness. So it's no longer a crime to be drunk. They'll just pick you up and put you in a detox center. It was in England. It went to Australia, went throughout America. The federal government gave states grants, a lot of money, to decriminalize drunkenness. And drunkenness should be a crime. And drugs, which are designed solely to get people drunk, to get them high, that should be criminal. And the reason is society is not required to put up with the risk of people who lose control of their faculties. Somebody's smoking pot in an apartment complex, and they think it's just the funniest thing in the world. It's 3 a.m., and the couch catches fire, and it's just hysterical. And they go to look for something to put out the fire, and they're pouring a beer on it, and they're cracking up, and pretty soon you got three dead kids on the fourth floor. So society does not have to put up with that kind of gross negligence, just like we don't have to put up with someone shooting a gun at a city park. He's doing target practice. He's shooting up the air. The bullets are coming down. He's saying, look, hey, this is a victimless crime. Nobody's getting hurt. Well, nobody's gotten hurt, but that's negligent, and we don't have to put up with that kind of gross negligence. That's why we don't have to put up with people getting drunk or getting high. And now the U.S. Supreme Court, led by Chief Justice John Roberts, who said there's nothing in his personal views that would prevent him from killing unborn children if his job required it. Chief Justice John Roberts, who's a legal positivist, who has no moral foundation whatsoever, he's simply a legal bureaucrat, whatever the process says, that's what I'll do. And so he now voted with the other Republicans on the court to say, hey, if you need illegal drugs to find God, we can see the benefit of that. In fact, we'll vote that that's legal. So that's out now today. That ruling just came out today. And all the Republicans on the U.S. Supreme Court voted to say, hey, it's legal to get high if you're a member of this particular sect and any other religious group that would fall under this ruling. It's legal to take illegal drugs. And you know what else? We have a treaty. The United States of America has a treaty with other countries in which we pledge that we will fight to stop the importation of this specific illegal drug. We have a treaty with DMT. We say we will fight to try to stop importation of DMT. And you know what's interesting about treaties? And at kgov.com, where we online, where we talk about how the government should function, what the law should be, treaties are a bad idea. You shouldn't have treaties. Our government should not enter into treaties. Why? Because they become the supreme authority of the land. They supersede the Constitution. Did you know that? Anybody in the audience know that? Treaties supersede the Constitution. Let me quickly, and then we'll go to the phones at 800-8-NERT, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. Oh, and today the U.S. Supreme Court said they're going to hear a partial birth abortion case. Oh, boy. But why do treaties supersede even the Constitution and all the laws of America? Well, first of all, they should. Because whatever laws you have in your household, then if your house makes a contract or an agreement with your neighbor's house, then that agreement supersedes your internal agreements. That's the way it works. That's the way God said it works in the Bible. God said to the Jews, don't enter into any treaties. And then being unwise, Joshua and his cohorts, they enter into a treaty with these folks. They act like they come from far away, and you know what? They didn't come from far away. They were like right around the corner. And that was a real disaster. And they were who? The Gibeonites? The Gibeonites. And now that they were in the treaty, God said, you're stuck. Now you made the treaty, you're stuck. I told you don't make a treaty, you made the treaty, now you got to abide by it. So in our own U.S. Constitution, Article 6 reflects that biblical principle that treaties supersede internal agreements and your own laws and even your Constitution. This is what Article 6 says. It says, all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. Has to be. I mean, that's a proper governmental principle, that a treaty supersedes your internal laws. That's why it's a really bad idea to make treaties or enter into treaties, because making law is too dangerous, because human beings are too stupid to make laws. And as they start making laws, because of the flesh and the world, and because of their own ignorance and laziness and selfishness, their laws typically are bad. So when you make treaties, you end up in trouble. But anyway, if you do have a treaty, you're supposed to abide by it. And the U.S. Constitution says, and John Roberts, I thought he was a strict constructionist. I thought that was his big shtick. You know, they're strict constructionists when they're going to use that as an excuse to do wrong. that's when they're a strict constructionist. But if the Constitution actually would have them do something right, then they forget that and they use some other principle. But why didn't John Roberts say, you know what, the Constitution says at Article 6, all treaties made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. We made a treaty as the United States of America. We made a treaty not to import DMT, to fight against the importation of drugs, including dimethyltryptam, whatever it is. And so that treaty should take precedent over our own opinion that religious liberty should outweigh a prohibition of this illegal drug. And so Article 6 says all treaties shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. How's that one? No matter what the Constitution says, no matter what any of the laws say, treaties shall be the supreme law of the land, the Constitution notwithstanding. What happened to original intent? Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278 in Maybank, Texas. Tom, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, sir.
I guess I was confused. I'm changing the subject a little bit, but I just want to clarify.
Go ahead. That's all right.
When you first mentioned James Dobson supporting the Living Together Benefits Act.
Yeah, the reciprocal benefits bill introduced by Senator Sean Mitchell in Colorado.
I took that to mean that heterosexual man and woman living together that are not married
would get benefits.
But are you saying that this would apply to homosexuals as well?
Yeah, no, not as well. Almost exclusively. I mean, there are some siblings who might accidentally fall under this, but this bill is designed to give benefits to homosexuals who shack up, not heterosexuals. It explicitly does not allow heterosexuals who are shacking up to get benefits. But these benefits go to homosexuals and to others then, but it's designed to give homosexuals some benefits so that they won't fight or win other benefits.
You know, Bob, that's insane. That would be like an honest businessman negotiating with a burglar so he won't steal from him.
Or so he won't steal from his neighbor. Like somebody's going to rob your neighbor blind, and you say, you know what, would you only poke out one of his eyes?
Yeah. Didn't Jesus lament that the people of the darkness showed more wisdom than the people of the light?
Yeah, I think you pegged that one, Tom, and that we have to be wiser than serpents, but we give benefits to homosexuals because we think in the long run it's going to give us a political victory.
Well,
and what would be the greater political victory if the Christians did not compromise on do not murder and do not commit adultery and on sexual immorality? If we didn't compromise on that, that would be the political victory. And who would know what might happen after a quarter century of our leaders teaching millions of Christians never compromise on do not murder? Never, ever. Who knows what good could have come of that? But we've had a quarter of a century of even our pro-life organizations saying we need to approve of judges and laws and rulings that violate do not murder because they'll bring us to one day having a great political victory.
That's like the Jews giving Israel away in hopes that the Palestinians won't blow them up.
There's some parallel there. Yeah. Hey, Tom, I got to tell you some big news. You're from Maybank, Texas?
Yes.
Well, our telethon, we now have 13 states represented. Bob and Yurt Live, we have a goal of bringing in $10,000 this month. We're up to 54%. We're over halfway. We're so thrilled. We have, what, 7 more days left in the month? And Texas is represented. It is so neat how many states are helping out to keep a Colorado radio show on the air. It's blowing my mind. Let me read you the states real quick. And Colorado is back in the lead. Colorado is now giving more money than any other state, which is appropriate, but Indiana is hot on the heels of Colorado, and Alaska is still in third place. Here's what we got. Alaska has given $650. Alabama, $175. The great state of California, $15. Oh, that came from a teenager, right? California? We got a teenager, Jared, in California, give $15. Colorado's up to $1,635. Thank you, Colorado. Indiana, $1,575. They're only $60 behind us. So Colorado's got to give more, I think, to stay in a lead, Tom.
Well, last I looked,
yeah,
Texas was very poorly represented.
Well, no, no, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. I'm getting it. We're going alphabetically.
Oh, okay.
We got 14 states. We just got another one. Hey, this is exciting. Okay, so Indiana, $60 behind Colorado. Illinois, $25, but that's per month. That's a monthly pledge. Thank you, Illinois. Louisiana, $250. And that family that gave, they had to run, flee from Louisiana for Hurricane Katrina, and they were out of their home for about 2 months. Now they're back with a brand-new baby. Missouri, $350. Minnesota, $100. Montana, $200. New Jersey, $100. Oklahoma, $75. Texas, here's Texas. How much here in Texas? $200. Hey, Tom, that's not bad for
just
Texas.
Just give me a list of all of the people that live in Texas that subscribe to you.
You're going to call them?
I'll take care of them. I'm authorized to carry a gun in all 48.
hey, now, Tom, we don't want you carrying a gun to them.
No, but I'm.
But maybe you could send them an email.
I'm asking Texans that we have got to support you because there's nobody else that is speaking the truth.
Well,
that I can find.
Well, there are people speaking the truth, but mostly we have groupthink. And Republican Party politics now takes over for Christian moral absolutes. We're now situational ethics rule the day with our national Christian ministries. They used to be against situational ethics, but if it's a Republican Party political thing, then the ethics change with the politics. And then finally, Virginia at $100. So that all adds up to $5,450, 54%. Hey, Tom, thank you so much.
Okay, Bob, and I'm admonishing all the Texans that we've got to support you. So let's, even if it's only $10.
Thank you, Tom. God bless you.
Okay, Bob.
I really appreciate that. And hey, Texas, they've come through in the past. Remember the Alamo? Well, that didn't exactly go all that well, but. Texas has come through in the past. So we need your help. We're 54% of the way there. For the public school teachers tuning in right now, that means we got 46% of the way still to go. And there's hope. There is hope. Okay. So Chief Justice John Roberts and all six of the Republicans ruling in this case voted that if it's a religious ritual, you can get high, and they laid out the principles here. And so we'll have to see where that leads. And we just heard a rumor that CU up in Boulder, University of Colorado, just had 7 student clubs apply for religious status on campus. Why would that be? We just made that up. Okay, and now today also the U.S. Supreme Court said that they will consider directly the constitutionality of partial birth abortion, which is such a tragedy. It's just tragic. Our form of government that we vote on how you can kill babies. I mean, we actually vote on that. It's like the Baptist voting on homosexuality and abortion. You know, I'm glad the Southern Baptists are against those things, but don't vote on it. They're going to get to heaven. And God's going to say to the Southern Baptist leaders, where did you ever get the idea that I wanted you to vote on my laws? What, are we going to someday vote on whether you can kill Jews or kill blacks? Are we going to vote about it? When you're voting about things, about crimes, you are in rebellion just voting on crimes. Now, we have the system, and we are stuck with the system, and we should do whatever we can in the system. Oh, Justin, $70 from Denver. John Denver? He listens to this show? Oh, John in Denver. Okay, John in Denver, $70. That means we're, $130 now ahead of Indiana. You're right. I don't think Indiana's going to catch up. I don't think so. And then we're at 55% of our goal now, 55%. That's exciting. All right, so, and look at this. The show's almost gone. Where did the time go? Beginning Monday, February 27th, Bob and Yurt Live will be airing in Des Moines, Iowa on KFFF. That's going to be exciting. AM and FM in drive time, 5 o'clock drive time for an hour. And that'll be thrilling. And we expect that over time, as our audience grows in Des Moines and Ames, that's a college town, Ames, Iowa, we expect that we'll get some Des Moines callers here into our Denver show also as they find out about the show and the website at KGOV.com. All right, we're out of time. So help out with the telethon. We can send you our catalog of our Bible study materials. You'll love them. And Maranatha Christian Center. Whoa, we start at the end too early. Boy, my whole life flashed right before my eyes. I thought, this is it. This is the big one. Elizabeth. But anyway, the show wasn't over yet. But now it is. So that was just a preview of the end times. All right. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. K through 12. And, hey, what a beautiful school. About 600-700 students. Check them out. Maranatha, 72nd and Oak in Arvada. And that's where Denver Bible Church, that's where we meet. So come on out and visit us Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and check out KGOV.com.